Heavenly Father, we declare that we are available to you. Lord, we thank you because you've been available for us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. We thank you, Father God, that you have given us, Lord God, everything that pertains unto this life and unto godliness. And Lord, we pray that we would use the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts within that you've blessed us, O God, to use. We ask in the name of Jesus, dear Lord, that you would take Walter out of self and that, Lord, you would use me to your glory, your praise, and your honor. That, Father, you would use my voice, use my body, use my personhood, that your people might hear a word from you, that we might, Father God, be encouraged, that we might, Father God, understand and discern, Lord, what times and what season in which we live, that we might, Father God, prepare for the bridegroom's coming. Lord, I thank you for each person and family represented here. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us all ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us individually and then corporately as a church body. Let the words of my mouth and the deep meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, it's good to be back among you. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time last week, went to preach the first year anniversary message to the saints at Grassroots Christian Fellowship in Stafford, Virginia, and I appreciate the fact that we were able to do that and carry on here. I understand our dear friend and beloved brother and minister Chauncey gave an excellent word, Holy Spirit, and you all had a great service, and that does my heart well. Amen. But it's good to be back home. And it's good to know that God is still on the throne, and he's still moving, and he's given us confirmation of his word, and he's doing great and mighty things in our midst. I want to continue in the messages that we've been delivering this month as it relates to prayer and fasting. As you all know, God put it on my heart and the elders' heart that we would take time out, particularly this month, and call for a season of prayer and fasting. We only asked you to fast one meal so as to not be so hard on our physical bodies, and to take that time to spend time with the Lord, to seek his face, to read his word, and then most of all to listen and see what God is doing in our lives individually and corporately. And I'm pleased to say that the prayer meetings that we've been holding in my office suite, God is answering prayer. He's bringing forth confirmation of his word, and today is such a word of confirmation. Now, when we had the church business meeting back in September, and we were looking for, seeking God in terms of where our next gathering place would be, well, we decided that God wanted us to include more than just seeking him for a gathering place. He wanted us to seek him for personal and corporate guidance and direction. And so we were led to call this season of prayer and fasting. But I had also indicated at the church business meeting that God had given me a word for our church as it relates to the things that God wants to provide us, and that we need to position ourselves to hear clearly what the Lord is saying. But I was looking for confirmation of that word that he gave me initially to the elders, and God gave me confirmation 2 weeks ago. After service, a young man by the name of Deacon Anthony Frost approached me after the service, and he shared with me a passage of scripture, the passage of scripture that God gave me to share with the elders in terms of what God would have us do as a church corporately. Because what God is after is our heart. God is after what motivates us to serve him, what motivates us to make the decisions that we make, what motivates us in terms of how we are to relate to him and to one another and those he places in our spheres of influence. And so today I come to share that word of confirmation, and it's taken from Isaiah chapter 58. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 58, there's only 14 verses in that passage. I want to read that into our hearing, and I'll be reading from the New English Translation. So it's a little different from the King James Version, but the message, nevertheless, is the same. And I want to speak on the subject of God's chosen fast. God's chosen fast. All right? So when you have it, Isaiah chapter 58, would you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, my version reads, shout loudly. Don't be quiet. Yell as loud as a trumpet. Confront my people with their rebellious deeds. Confront Jacob's family with their sin. They seek me day after day. They want to know my requirements, like a nation that does what is right and does not reject the law of their God. They ask me for just decrees. They want to be near God. They lament, why don't you notice when we fast? Why don't you pay attention when we humble ourselves? Look, at the same time you fast, you satisfy your selfish desires. You oppress your workers. Look, your fasting is accompanied by arguments, brawls, and fistfights. Do not fast as you do today, trying to make your voice heard in heaven. Is this really the kind of fasting I want? Do I want a day when people merely humble themselves, bowing their heads like a reed and stretching out on sackcloth and ashes? Is this really what you call a fast? A day that is pleasing to the Lord? No, this is the kind of fast I want. I want you to remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of the burdensome yoke, to set free the oppressed, and to break every burdensome yoke. I want you to share your food with the hungry and to provide shelter for homeless, oppressed people. When you see someone naked, clothe him. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Then your light will shine like the sunrise. Your restoration will quickly arrive. Your godly behavior will go before you, and the Lord's splendor will be your rear guard. Then you will call out, and the Lord will respond. You will cry out, and he will reply, here I am. You must remove the burdensome yoke from among you and stop pointing fingers and speaking sinfully. You must actively help the hungry and feed the oppressed. Then your light will dispel the darkness, and your darkness will be transformed into noonday. The Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in parched regions. He will give you renewed strength. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that continually produces water. Your perpetual ruins will be rebuilt. You will reestablish the ancient foundations. Yes. Yes. You will be called the one who repairs broken walls, the one who makes the streets inhabitable again. You must observe the Sabbath rather than doing anything you please on my holy day. You must look forward to the Sabbath and treat the Lord's holy day with respect. You must treat it with respect by refraining from your normal activities and by refraining from your selfish pursuits and from making business deals. Then you will find joy in your relationship to the Lord, and I will give you great prosperity and cause crops to grow on the land I gave to your ancestor Jacob. Know for certain that the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. And beloved, just to give us a little historical background and context on this passage of scripture, God called the prophet Isaiah to prophesy to the people. It was during a time in which there was great sin in the land. There was famine in the land. The people of God were flip-flopping. You know, they would serve God for a period of time under an anointed godly king. And then when a pagan king would come in, they would adopt some of their pagan customs and ways. They would backslide. They would slip into sin and debauchery and do all manner of evil. And so we had this cycle going back and forth. The nation of Israel was divided, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Judah and Israel. And so there was quite a bit of turmoil and conflict taking place in the land. But what God was trying to address among his people was the fact that they were dealing with many idols. Roberta spoke of in the scripture about carved idols. They were dealing with idols of their own lusts, divorce, sexual immorality, greed. Brothers were enslaving their own brothers, their own sisters. Because of the famine and because things were tight, they had taxes to pay to the king. The rich were oppressing the poor and putting an unreasonable burden on them. Sounds a lot like our society today. But the point of the matter is that God was addressing his people. He was addressing their conduct. He was addressing their heart, because God was constantly trying to woo the people to come back to him, to repent and to turn from their wicked ways. And if they would do that, he promised them at times of refreshing. He promised them times of restoration. He promised them protection and deliverance from their enemies. But the people kept rebuking God, disobeying his command. And I want to give us a little brief understanding of what was taking place even before Isaiah spoke in this passage. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 57, beginning with verse 11, and I'm reading in the New King James Version now, and it reads, "Of whom have you been afraid or feared, that you have lied and not remembered me," God speaking, "nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace from of old that you do not fear me? I will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. When you cry out, let your collection of idols deliver you. But the wind will carry them all away. A breath will take them. But he who puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." The Lord speaking to his people. They did not remember him. They did not take heed to his laws and his commands. And so whenever we are dealing with unconfessed, unrepentant sin, God, being a just God, has to address that situation. And oftentimes, God will allow calamity to come into our lives. God will allow drama to set in so that we can recognize who we belong to and begin to call on his name. But as Pastor Pitt says, we should be getting to a point where we're mature in Christ, where we can praise him in the good times, and especially give him crazy praise during the bad times. Because he said what? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Had the opportunity to go to a pastor's appreciation luncheon, Pastor Pitts and myself, this past Monday. And many of you know this man's name when I call it out, Willie Jolly.
Yes.
You know Willie? Willie was at the meeting. He said, a setback is simply a setup for a comeback.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so whenever we find ourselves being challenged, whether we caused it, brought it to ourselves or not, God always can turn that thing to our good if we have the right perspective, if we have the right motive. And so God is speaking to his people, particularly as it relates to them coming to him with a form of godliness, but their heart was far from him. Sounds a lot like a lot of church folk. I call them church folk. They come to church and they were brought up to come to church because it was the right thing to do. It was an upstanding thing to do. It was, you know, something that they wanted to impress people. But their hearts are far from God. They hear the word of God. They can receive it and understand it. But they refuse to do it. They go about doing their own thing, leaving themselves to their own devices. And they call themselves trying to worship and consecrate and dedicate themselves to God by trying to impress him with ritual, by trying to impress God by, you know, showing him that, look, I'm willing to, you know, afflict my soul. I'm willing to take away from eating for a period of time so that I can convince you, God, that I am truly your child, that I'm truly, you know, behind what you want me to do 100%. But they did not have the right motive. And many of folk come in here, I'm not saying here, but they come in church, all right? And they want us to think that, you know, they're holier than thou. They have these, you know, the Christian language. They know how to say the right thing, all right? They know how to cry out. But as soon as the benediction is said, they go and act any way they want to act. Say anything they want to say. And you can't find them when it's time to do some work for the Lord. But they'll come in here making you think they're a super saint. Well, God is not impressed with that kind of behavior. And God wants us to search our own hearts first of all. He wants us to be able to be transparent before him. And that's what I put forth in those prayer points as to why God had us in this season of prayer and fasting. And I dealt with our personhood first. And that's what God wants us to do. Paul says, look, if we examine ourselves, we have no need for any man to examine us. Amen?
Amen?
And so God is the same way. If we understand and know what is our motivation, why do I do the same things that I do? Why do I make the decisions I make? Is my idol a bunch of presidents on a piece of green paper? Is my idol the car I drive in the neighborhood I live in, my house? Is my idol my children, my wife, my husband? You know, what motivates me to do the things we do? God should be first in all that we do. God should be first in all of our processing of life's endeavors. And God is calling us to get back to our first love, Sylvia. And you're right on. See, God is revealing some things to us during prayer, and he's confirming some things. God is calling us back to our first love when we first met him, when we first understood and knew that we were saved by grace, through faith, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we were excited about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're excited about sharing how good God is in our lives. We were excited to invite people to come and be a part of what God is doing in our midst. And God is calling us back to that kind of heart. But he tells Isaiah, I'm going to the text now. He says, shout loudly, don't be quiet. Be loud as a trumpet. Hallelujah. In other words, you know, don't hold back, he's saying. Let it rip.
Amen.
He says, confront my people with their rebellious deeds. Confront Jacob's family with their sins. In other words, God is saying, look, call a spade a spade. And I'm in no position to judge anybody in this place, anybody. But God is saying to each one of us, look, when we know we have sin, when we know we have issues, when we know we have challenges, we need to go to Him. We're to confess our sins to Him. We're to ask Him to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and then give us the will to do according to His good pleasure. And the truth of the matter is there are some behaviors that take place even among us that God is not pleased with. Some of us lord over our positions and our authorities, and we don't treat people with kindness and dignity and respect. We have respect of persons. People who have a certain socioeconomic status, we treat differently than someone who might not, you know, have the same standard of living. It should not be so. Amen. Some people we'll talk to, say hi to, hug to. Others will walk right by and not say nothing. And I'm telling you, that is not the spirit of the living God, and He's not pleased with that. And if we want God to do something in our midst, we have to be unified. God is calling us to unity. That's why He gives us His word. That's why He gives us messengers to preach and teach His word, so we all understand what God is saying to us, so that we can begin to execute together and move in the same direction. But we cannot move when there's strife. We cannot move when there's confusion. We cannot move when there's a respect of persons among God's people. He won't do it. God is a God of unity. God is a God of love. God humbled Himself, and he learned obedience. That's what I'm trying to say. He learned obedience from the things that He suffered. So you and I, once we understand and know, take our whooping like a man or a woman and then go on and do the right thing. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. God chastens those whom He loves. Yes. 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 Let me continue this. He says, look, verse 2, they seek me day after day. They want to know my requirements like a nation that does what is right and does not reject the law of God. They ask me for just decrees. They want to be near God. In other words, giving lip service. See, we ask God for a lot of things, and then when God sets up the circumstances, we ask God for patience. We ask Him for wisdom, right? We do those things, these spiritual virtues, and when He sets up the situation for us to exercise those things, then we find ourselves, you know, moonwalking. We find ourselves making excuses. And some of us find ourselves downright disobedience. I'm just not going to do that, Lord. I'm going to do my own thing. And God calls us a rebellious, a stiff-necked people when we have that kind of attitude. But He says this all for a purpose, because God wants to gather His children together. He wants us to understand and know He has a prescribed path for us. And He wants us to understand, look, if we will listen, be willing and obedient to His word, even when it hurts us, even when it might embarrass us, even when it puts us out of our comfort zone, if we are willing and obedient, God promises us tremendous blessings. And so what God has us looking at during this season of prayer and fasting is, what is our relationship with Him? How is our relationship? How would we grade ourselves with our relationship with all our brothers and sisters? Not just a few, but all of our brothers and sisters here at the church. Because before God can bless us and expand us, He's got to get us right. God is not going to add confusion to confusion. Hallelujah, right? So God is saying to us, look, search your heart. Let me try your thoughts. And I will reveal to you any wicked way within you. And then, if you're willing to be transparent and give it up, He says, I'll lead you in the way everlasting. And that's the message that God was giving to these people, but you know, they're trying to convince God. Lord, I've fasted. I've afflicted my soul, Lord. Why don't you notice when we fast? Why don't you pay attention to me and my humility? How, if you say you're humble, that don't mean you're humble, right? Somebody else ought to be able to tell you that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So, you know, God said, look, I'm not impressed by, you know, these things that you're doing from a ritualistic perspective. You're not going to change my mind. You're not going to change my heart towards you. He says, look, this is the fast that I've chosen for you. And I want to go down to that verse here. Verse 6. He says, now this is the kind of fast I want. I want you to remove sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of the burdensome yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. Isn't that what Jesus said? Mm-hmm. Y'all remember when after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he came up from the water. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then the Spirit of God drove him in the desert to be tested. And the Bible says he fasted 40 days. Hallelujah. And then after the fast, turn with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Amen. Does somebody have it? Because my Bible doesn't. It's on the screen. Okay, thank you, Harry. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout the region. Go on to the next one. That's not the right one, Harry. And he taught. Yeah. Is it 11? Go back to 11, Harry. No, no, that's not it. That's not it. Hold on just a second. It talks about, yeah, I'm anointed to 18. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Pitts. Thank you. Go to that, Harry. There it is. There it is. Thank you. Thank you all for bearing with me. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Spirit of the Lord is in you and I, right? The same Spirit that was upon Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Spirit, hallelujah, that delivered him to heaven to be with his Father is the same Spirit that dwells in you and I. And God is telling his people, look, this is the kind of fast I want. This is the kind of behavior that I expect you to honor me with, to reverence me, and to be obedient. He says, I want you to remove the sinful chains. And that begins with us first. Amen. To tear away, he says, the ropes of the burdensome yoke. To set the oppressed free. See, we can't free anybody if we're not free. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God that even when we do sin, God does use us. But the truth of the matter is, if we're truly going to be free, we've got to be free from our own sin, our own bondages. And God is the one who can do it. All we have to do is just say, Lord, you know, I'm available to you. God, clean me up. And God will do it. He will honor his word. Then he says, I want you to share your food with the hungry and to provide shelter for homeless, oppressed people. When you see someone naked, clothe them. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. I just want to deal with that a little bit. In other words, God says, look, when you see a need, and it's within your power to meet that need, meet the need. And sometimes it means us going out of our way to meet the need. You know, John, I'm familiar with being without a car. There have been times when car broke down, times the car ran out of gas. This was many years ago. But within 5 minutes, God would always send somebody to rescue me or to give me a ride to where I need it so I could get assistance. And so I'm compassionate toward people. When I see people broken down on the road, I ask the Lord, Lord, is it your desire that I stop and help that person? Sometimes he'll tell me, pull over, help them. Other times, you know, he just says, no, just pray for the person. I'm sending somebody to help them. But you see what I'm saying? I don't know the person, but I understand my situation. And I understand how God delivered me and how God protected me and how God met my needs. And so I wanted the same thing to happen for that individual so that they can understand and know the love of God. Sometimes he chooses to use me. Other times he'll use somebody else. But the point I'm trying to make is, look, whenever we see a need and we're able to help, God says meet that need, particularly among those in the household of faith. Amen. And one thing that really galls me, if we see a brother or sister struggling, and we'll walk right by them. Men, we see these ladies, I know they're independent. I know they can do things on their own, but if you see them struggling with some heavy load, help them. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Open some doors for these ladies.
Yes. Amen.
If you see, one thing I love about Elder Jackson, he's established it years ago. He will go and get a group of young people and have them go around single women's houses, even couples who need assistance, yard work, you know, light household repair jobs. That's the spirit that God is talking about. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
And what I've observed is the children enjoy it.
Yeah.
Uncle Al knows how to take care of them too. But the point I'm trying to make, folks, is we got to be a people of compassion, people of mercy, because God is compassionate and merciful toward us.
Yes.
And we should see it all the more among us. Sometimes we share information with other people and don't share with others. That's wrong. We invite some people to certain things. We don't invite others. And they're in the body. You know the word is going to get back. So what are you trying to say to the person? You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to hit where we're home. And God has given us an opportunity to change. And that's what's going to bring us together. And that's what's going to bring the blessings of God upon us. It starts with our own heart. It starts with our own motivation. It starts with our own behavior toward one another. Because once we get it right, hallelujah, he says in verse 8, he says, then your light will shine like the sunrise. What he's talking about is your ability to perceive and discern.
Yes.
The goodness of God. Amen. The ability to perceive and to discern that God is our protector. The ability to perceive and discern that all of our needs are met in and through him.
Yeah.
And when we do it his way, he's obligated. He promised us. He's not a man that he should lie. He promised us certain blessings.
Amen.
But we find ourselves struggling because we don't have it right. Our perspective is off. It's about us and a few people that we like. And that's wrong.
Amen.
He says, then your light will shine like the sunrise. Your restoration will quickly arrive. Some of us need restoring. Restoring in our own familial relationships.
Yeah.
restoration in our own bodies. He speaks about healing further down. You see, all these things are inextricably bound in our obedience to God, our reverence and our fear of him. Not to be afraid, but to be in awe of God and his mercy and his grace and his loving kindness and his long suffering. Because God is patient with us. I tell you, sometimes, man, I just break down and I say, Lord, how can you be so patient with wretch like me sometimes? And he wants us to at least attempt to do the same thing, and we can do it in his power. And one thing I found out is if you step out there, it becomes easier the more you step out there. Amen? Amen. Praise his name. I'm going to be quick. I'll be done pretty quickly. It says, then, verse 9, you will call out and the Lord will respond. You will cry out, right, Telly? And he will reply, here I am. But he conditions it again. You must remove the burdensome yoke from among you and stop pointing fingers and speaking sinfully, wickedness. See, God is saying, look, instead of looking at somebody else's shortcomings, somebody else's faults, and those, instead of having a judgmental spirit, look at your own self. You know, we got enough issues and issuettes, as my wife would say, to deal with than try to, you know, get somebody else right. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But the upshot of this all is God is just trying to get us to a place where he can bless us, where he can pour out his abundant spirit upon us. He promises us in verse 12. Well, let's start at verse 11. He said, the Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in parched regions. Yes. He will give you renewed strength, and you will be like a well-watered garden, yes, like a spring that continually produces water. Yes. You can, yes. Roberta and I can appreciate that well-watered garden, right? Yes. Roberta and all you gardeners, yes, out there. Aria, but not Ariel, Artrell. Yeah, she likes to keep her yard. Most of you all do an excellent job keeping your yards looking good and watered. You can appreciate that. I used to have a part-time business where I would design and supervise construction of farm ponds, ponds that you would stock with fish, okay, on large lot properties. And the thing I would always make sure when I was speaking with the landowners that whatever your source of water is, it has to be a consistent flow, even in the hottest of month. If not, you're not going to be happy with the product, because if water is not continually flowing through that system, what happens? It stagnates. It starts getting algae on it and aquatic weeds, and the product is not the desired effect. God wants us to be like that water garden. He says, well, out of our belly, rivers. Hallelujah. You were waiting for that, Sylvia? You must have been praying. Hallelujah. See, when y'all pray, see, God can pull stuff out of me here. Amen? Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. So wherever we touch, hallelujah, they're going to get watered and they're going to be blessed. And I was with somebody, and they told me, look, the river always flows to the ocean. Hallelujah. And so, you know, God starts with us. We're kind of the springhead. But out of us goes rivers that goes all the way to the ocean, the expanse that is well beyond what we can even ask or imagine. But we get the credit for the blessings if we're doing the things of God and we're watering those people God wants us to water. Hallelujah. Because, you know, we're not plugged up with sin. We're not plugged up with iniquity and transgression. That thing has been uncapped. Hallelujah. And God wants to bless his people. He promised us we'll be like well-watered gardens. He says he will give us renewed strength. Hallelujah. He says the perpetual ruins will be rebuilt. And what does that say in the King James? It's different.
Repairer of the breach.
And isn't that in capital letters?
Yes.
And repairer of the streets of
and
those
streets
that dwell within. And that's in capital letters, right?
Yes.
Because God calls himself the repairer of the breach. And so God is saying, look, you become like me. Hallelujah. You can emulate and imitate me when you get yourself together. Hallelujah. And you allow me to use you. Hallelujah. And so God wants to use us so that he can expand and explode his kingdom. I can tell you this. I've had a vision of God doing some great things among us. I've had some visions of this place being, you know, too small, much too small. And you know what? That's how we're going to get the next place.
Amen.
When we decide we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, share the goodness of the Lord with those whom God has placed in our sphere of influence, we're going to outgrow this place.
Amen.
And the problem is not ours, it's God's.
Yes.
Because we're praying and asking God to, first of all, deal with our heart.
Yes.
Get rid of our own sin and iniquity. To give us a change in perspective so that then we could be used by others. And when we do that, God will bless us. He will continue to let his favor rest upon us. The things that we see here, we won't even imagine what God will do. I know a friend right now who's having a church built by a developer. They're not going to pay for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God I serve. I'm telling you, so that's the kind of blessings God wants to release to his people. But God does things decently and in order. And God is not going to reward sin. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to close on this, beloved. Hold on for 3 more weeks. God put on my heart, if we can continue to fast for 7 weeks, that will be the second week in November, 7 being the number of perfection, then we will end the fast. We're going to continue to meet in my office. God has laid on our heart that when we gather together, where we can see one another and we can hear one another and see their expressions and just touch one another, just as the early church did in Acts chapter 2, then that's the best way that together, corporately, we can call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And see him do great and mighty things in our midst. God's chosen fast, beloved, believes with our own thinking. It begins with our own understanding that, look, God and I are majority if I have my heart right before him, if I have my heart right and inclined to do for his people what he has given me the ability to do. And then as we begin to love on one another, put down our petty differences, if you have issues with anyone, Bible says go to that person. It's not a waste of your time. My experience has been when people have been bold enough to go to somebody, that's where it ends. They usually can talk it over, get it straight, and they become, you know, friends again. God knows what he's doing, folks. It's laid out in his word. I just want to encourage us, particularly during this time where we see desert-like conditions in our economy. God wants to be that river that flows through that parched land. Guess what? That river is you and I. So as we continue to fast and we wind this fast down, I'm asking that as God gives you revelation, gives you scripture, whatever it is, would you share that with us? If you can't make it on Thursday night because of work or not, email me. Get it to Sister Sylvia, our prayer coordinator. We need to hear from you because God is speaking in and among us.